Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Oh yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Pastor, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great.
Very well. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Fantastic. Great to have you there. Now, Pastor, we're continuing with our, discussion that we started yesterday afternoon. And, there's a sanctuary in heaven, the true tabernacle that the Lord set up, not humans, but himself. In it, Christ ministers in our behalf, making available to believers the benefits of his atoning sacrifice offered once for all on the cross. Now, what is the difference between the sanctuary and the temple?
Right. What is the difference between the sanctuary and the temple? Well, like the way we mentioned yesterday, the term sanctuary refers to a sacred place where God's presence dwells. And that is, the reference can be Exodus chapter 25 and verse number 8. So we can say, in biblical times, the sanctuary often points to the tabernacle. This was a portable tent-like structure that was built by the Israelites in the wilderness. But when we come to the temple refers to a permanent structure that replaced the sanctuary.
Mm.
Remember yesterday we had mentioned that the sanctuary had three apartments or divisions.
Mm-hmm.
The outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place.
Mm.
And so when we come to the temple, we are just saying this is a permanent structure that was not portable, but it was, built to replace the sanctuary.
Mm.
And later when Israel was in the promised land, we find that King Solomon built the first temple in Jerusalem, as a more grand and enduring version of the sanctuary. So in essence, the sanctuary was temporary and portable, while the temple was a permanent and a more magnificent version of the same concept.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. Now, what is the reason for the specifics that were given for the construction of the earthly sanctuary?
All right. The specifics for the sanctuary's construction, remember yesterday we mentioned that they were divinely given by God to Moses.
Yeah, yeah.
The reference is Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 to 9.
Mm.
That is where we find God giving some specifics.
Yeah.
Now, I would say, number one, the sanctuary was a reflection of heavenly realities.
Mm.
The sanctuary was patterned after the heavenly sanctuary, meaning God instructed, Moses to make everything according to the pattern that was shown Moses on the mountain. And the reference is Exodus chapter 25, verse 40, Hebrews chapter 8, and verse number 5.
Mm.
So this earthly model symbolized greater spiritual realities in heaven.
Mm.
Number two, I would say the sanctuary had a symbolic teaching. Every detail of the sanctuary, from its materials to its design, had a symbolic meaning. For example, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represented God's throne and his covenant with his people.
Mm.
When we talk about the altar of burnt offering, the sacrificial altar symbolized the atonement for sin through the sacrifice, pointing to Jesus Christ himself. And so God was specific because the sanctuary, pointed to how the lifestyle should be. All things should be done, in reverence and should be orderly with all decency.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. Please explain and continue rather to explain on the correlation between the heavenly sanctuary and the earthly sanctuary. You did touch on it and you did have explained it, but what are those very specific things that correlate between the two?
All right. The earthly sanctuary was a shadow or a type of the heavenly sanctuary.
Mm.
And the key scripture is Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 to 5. And so we find that it was, you know, in the earthly sanctuary where the high priest ministered on behalf of Israel.
Mm.
Now, when we go to Hebrews 8, verse 1 to 5, we find that in the heavenly sanctuary, there is Jesus who ministers as our high priest. And so we would say the sanctuary, the correlation really is, number one, we are talking about the priesthood. In the earthly sanctuary, priests mediated between God and the people. In the heavenly sanctuary, we see Jesus serving as our high priest, interceding on our behalf. No wonder he says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, come boldly unto the throne of grace, so that you should find grace to help in the times of need. We find Jesus as our high priest. And so the first, you know, correlation between the earthly and heavenly sanctuary, the first one, we are talking about priesthood. The second one, I would say, let's talk about the sacrifices. Earthly sacrifices involved the blood of animals to atone for sin. Now, in the heavenly sanctuary, we see Jesus offered his own blood as the ultimate sacrifice, achieving eternal redemption. That is Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 12. The third point I would say, it is the Day of Atonement.
Yeah.
Now, the earthly sanctuary is annual Day of Atonement, you know, foreshadowed the final phase of Jesus's heavenly ministry. In heaven, we find that Jesus cleanses the sanctuary and prepares for the eradication of sin. When we read Daniel 8 and verse number 14, Hebrews 9 and verse number 12, verse number 23, we find that the concept of the Day of Atonement is actually brought into picture. Jesus walks to the Ancient of Days, and the Bible tells us unto 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Day of Atonement really was foreshadowing the final phase of Jesus's heavenly ministry. And the purpose was to cleanse the heavenly sanctuary and prepare for the eradication of sin. The fourth point I want to mention under this one is God's presence. Just as God's presence dwelled in the most holy place of the earthly sanctuary, we find that in the heavenly sanctuary, his full glory and presence dwell in the sanctuary.
Mm.
So Christ is ministering before the presence of the Father. And so, in a nutshell, we can say the correlation teaches us that the earthly sanctuary was a teaching model to help us grasp, you know, the reality of Christ's ongoing work in heaven.
Mm. Now, before we let you go, Pastor, why must we understand this, teaching of the sanctuary? What's so important that we should definitely understand it?
All right. Understanding the sanctuary is essential for, you know, several reasons. Number one, the sanctuary reveals God's plan of salvation. When we read John chapter 1, verse 29, we find John the Baptist, you know, points out and he says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so it is in the sanctuary system where we find an outline of God's plan to save humanity from sin.
Mm.
Every aspect of the sanctuary, you know, from sacrifices to the role of the priest, we find that all this points to Jesus Christ and his redemptive work. No wonder John 1 verse 29 says, Jesus is the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Number two, I would say understanding the sanctuary is essential because it deepens faith in Jesus' ministry.
Mm.
The sanctuary teaches us that Christ is actively ministering for us in heaven.
Yeah.
He is busy interceding and working to complete, you know, the plan of redemption.
Mm.
And so we find that when we look at the earthly sanctuary, we have a picture of what Jesus is actually doing for each one of us right now. And I would say the sanctuary also helps us to understand prophecy. Remember, I had mentioned earlier that the text that we find, you know, speaking about the Day of Atonement, the cleansing of the sanctuary, and, you know, the preparation for eradication of sin, is Daniel chapter 8 and verse 14, which says, "For unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed."
Mm.
And so many prophecies in Daniel and the liberation are rooted in the sanctuary. Understanding the sanctuary provides clarity on these end time prophecies. The other point I would mention is the sanctuary teaches us worship and obedience. The sanctuary emphasizes on, you know, reverence that is for God, and it teaches us how to approach Him in worship, humility, and disobedience. Now, the interesting part about, you know, the sanctuary is that it points to the end of sin. When we read Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 3, there's a concept that, you know, John the Liberator actually strives to communicate, and he says, you know, the sanctuary reveals the final eradication of sin and the restoration of God's perfect kingdom. We are talking about the presence of God. The presence of God should be, you know, among men. God wanted to dwell among Israel. No wonder he told them to build a sanctuary for him. And so when we look at the sanctuary, we see an end to sin. We see how God will usher in the heavenly kingdom, and how he will restore each and everything that man has lost because of sin. And so in a nutshell, I would say by studying the sanctuary, we gain a clear understanding of God's character, his justice, his mercy, and the ultimate purpose of redemption.
Beautiful, and I think quite a very comprehensive, you know, response there. Thank you so much, Pastor, for joining us and actually giving us a beautiful glimpse of these heavenly things. Thank you so much. We're going to be, you know, connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.